right, we'll go ahead and begin. Dr. Agatha is on her way, and she should be here maybe in 5 minutes. So why don't we begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll cover just a little bit of anything until she gets here. Maybe we'll talk about the back a little bit, because a lot of people have back problems. So why don't we start with a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come and learn more of the natural remedies, Lord. Father, you know each soul that's here, Lord, and what each one needs. I ask in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will send your Holy Spirit to be with us, that you will help us to minister, Lord, and that it will be accepted, Lord, and that it will be blessed, Lord. There are many people here that are hurting and need a healing touch from you, Father. So I ask in the name of Jesus, and I come before you as you are the great physician, Lord, that you will work in a mighty way upon each one here. As we teach, Lord, that they will learn and they will take these remedies home and use them and teach their neighbors about it, Lord, because this is how it becomes a part of us. As we share and we teach others, Lord, and we use them, they become a part of us. So we pray that you bless this meeting, Lord, that you be with Dr. Agatha as she's on her way here. And help us all, Lord, to remember that your coming is soon and that all we do should glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so today some of the things we're going to be talking about is today's Tuesday, household injuries, sprains, backaches, splinters, scalp lacerations, suturing, and also ice massage. Can you go get the ice, please? Ice massage, also pleurisy. We'll be doing chest fomentations, the double packs, and dermapapillomas, which somebody here has one, so we'll show you how to tie one off with dental floss and to strangulate it. We just did someone at UG Pines, and she's showing me how it's you can see it dying, and around it the tissues were a little swollen, but it's disappearing slowly. Also, yes, and those are the things we're going to be talking about today, but I just want to talk a little bit about back pain. Many people have back pain, and it somehow starts like after we're 40, for some reason it seems like back pain starts. Why do you suppose that is? That's one reason, but what do you think the other one is? Even though we're getting old, if we're active and we're in good health, we won't have back pain. It starts sometimes when we start getting this thing right here, it causes the back to hurt. And also if we're not picking up properly, you know, if we're bending down like this instead of going along like this and picking stuff up like this, any improper movement will cause back pain. And so today we're going to show you some exercises that could possibly help your back, but if it's more serious than that, then you need to go to a doctor or a chiropractor if what we show you today does not help. But I have had problems with my neck for a long time because I've worked in an office. I'm always on a telephone like this while I'm doing something on the computer, and I did damage to my cervical spine. And what I have found that helps a lot is fomentations, massage, and gentle traction. And all you do, you can take a hand towel and fold it in three, and you just put it right under the neck, and you're gently pulling. You just step back and you pull so that you're not hurting yourself, and you just pull on the neck, and that really releases those vertebrae. It increases the space. You can also hold the head like this and pull gently. And I don't have a massage table here, but when David lies up there, I will show you how to do that. Also, we have two books that I recommend that every household should have. These two books, Back and Neck. This is an incredible book on back and this one on neck. This one talks about chin tucks. Another thing that helped me was chin tucks. And basically what you do is just stretch it. This is all you would do. And that would happen. And you get to the, after you do 10 of those, then you would do, turn this way, and that way. Now, Dr. Agatha is here, and I'll let her take over. We're going with our regular program, and then when we get to that part of it, then I'll demonstrate some more of what to do for the back. But these are very good books. They're very inexpensive, $10 each, and I think each home should have it because they give you very practical exercises to do for your back and your neck. And we only have 6 of the back and 8 of the neck.
I will try to turn up the volume a bit.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk with you first about gargles, and you can have many different kinds of gargles. Charcoal is a good gargle for a sore throat. Golden seal and echinacea are both very good gargles for sore throat. And you can also do plain water or salt water. And if you use salt water, you can expect the temperature of the water to stay hotter a little longer. And so that's nice to know so that you can decide what to use as your gargling agent. Now, sore throats are most of the time, about 80% of the time, caused by a virus. Another few percentage times will be due to some other germ, and a few times, about 15% of the time, it will be due to a strep. Now, about 20% of us just sitting here today will carry strep in our throats as a normal inhabitant there. And so if you get a culture of your throat, you have about a 15 to 20% chance of its culturing out streptococcus. Now, that's right now, and you're not sick. So if you get sick, it's about the same, about 15 to 20% of the time you'll culture out a streptococcus. But the rest of the time, you'll be culturing out just ordinary bacterial flora in the throat. Now, what can you do for ordinary bacterial flora? Well, if you have a sore throat, don't expect that those germs are the cause of it, but rather that it's a virus. And so you can use any kind of antiviral, antifungal, or antibacterial herbal gargle. And if it's hot, it's going to do some good. If you do a charcoal gargle, then you need to gargle with the charcoal for 10 minutes. And if you want to swallow some of the gargle water, that's fine too. It's not any problem. Just go ahead and gargle. It's not any more. A heaping tablespoonful in a large glass of water. The adult dose of charcoal is always a heaping tablespoonful. When you're using it as a gargle, it may be 2 or 3 tablespoonsful, and that's fine too. Now, when you have the gargle, take a small amount. I remember when my brother and I were children, my mother would give us each a gargle when we had a sore throat the same size. And we stood on the back steps and gargled and spat it out on the ground. And my brother could always get through a lot sooner than I could. And I wondered how he did that. And one day I just watched how he did his gargle. And sure enough, he took a big gargle, big mouthful, gargled it 2 or 3 times, and spat it out. Whereas I took a small mouthful, gargled it a long time before I spat it out. That's the way, not the way my brother did. You can finish sooner, but it's not as good a gargle. So make it 10 minutes minimum. Now, if you put a heating compress, let's say you had a boil on your arm, you put a heating compress on that, you wouldn't take it off in 5 minutes. You put your arm in a bath, you wouldn't take it out of the bath in 5 minutes. You would let it stay on a lot longer than that. And so, same thing with a sore throat. You have to let the medicine stay on the throat long enough to really do some healing. Hot water. Yes, hot water is the best. Now, with charcoal, you can use that cold, and that's fine, too. Cold or hot. If you do it hot, then you get the added benefit not only of the charcoal, but also of the other. Now, with a gargle, the gargling, the period of time that you do gargling is as long as you have a sore throat. Now, along with the sore throat, you should be adding another thing, and that other thing is, could you get me the rest of this? It's got a white part and a plastic part. What is the next part that you use with a sore throat? A wrap around the throat. It's called a heating compress. Now, don't sell a heating compress short. It's a very good remedy. I like it very much. You will find it to be most effective. And the things that you require are a piece of cotton, something like this, that we have cut from a bed sheet, an old bed sheet. Just cut something like this. It's long enough to wrap fully around the neck. And then a plastic piece, and this was cut, I believe, from something like a Walmart bag. You can also do it from a bread bag, which is usually a little stiffer, and you can deal with it a little bit easier. I don't find saran wrap easy to use, but you can use that in a pinch as well. And if you are really in a pinch, you can use a paper towel instead of this cotton piece. Now, you can understand that's a poverty program when you do it that way, but that's what you can do. So, saran wrap instead of this, and a paper towel instead of that. This part, now we have, this has been machine tooled so that you can see it's quite long and broad. This part is more narrow. The plastic part is a little broader, yet it must be big enough that it completely covers all of the wet part. And then this part is long enough to wrap and to give you something to pin. Now, I would like a volunteer. And who can I get? This young man. He's my very one. Okay.
Could I ask a question about the gargle?
Yes. Yes.
How many times a day?
Well, that's four times a day minimum, but it can be as often as every hour. If you're really suffering from a sore throat, then every hour is not too frequently. You can almost do it continuously until it's well. All right, now the first part is the use of this. So take the cotton piece, and this can also be cotton knit. That's not as nice as an old bed sheet. Put this in cold water. Okay, now let's see. I have a tub here somewhere, a little basin. And you put this in ice water. And the ice water is a good part of it. Some people do not use ice water. Instead of that, they simply use cold tap water. When I'm doing this for myself, I usually use cold tap water. I have learned through the years that I actually do better with just cold tap water. So let's pretend that's all right. Let's pretend that I'm just dipping it in the sink, cold tap water, and I squeeze it out. I want it to be squeezed out enough that it's not dripping at all, but so that when I squeeze it like this, I can hear it crackle. That's about the way that you want it. Okay? Then the wet piece goes on the throat like this. Take your hand down and let me. That's good. I'm going to want you to hold this one. Now, this is a critical part. You want this smoothed on nicely so that it doesn't. We don't want any wicking, so we don't want anything like this to stick out. Do you see? So when you're at the end, in particular, you need to be sure that you don't let anything stick out. Would you put your finger right there and hold that for me? That's good. Then you take the plastic part, and if you will start with the end where you just left off, that will be the best thing for you. Now, this part is critical because you have to cover every bit of the wet part, no part sticking out. So you do it like so. All the cloth part has to be, and even little strings have to be under the plastic so that we won't have any wicking. We want all the water that's in it when we put the plastic wrap on, we want it all to be in when we take the wrap off. Now, if you're using something like a piece of rubber over this, or a piece of wool over this, instead of the plastic, you may get a little evaporation during the night. But I like to have it just as wet in the morning as it is at night when I put it on at night. Then take the next piece, and this can be a scarf. It can be, if you're away from home, you can use a paper towel and a piece of plastic from wherever you can get a piece of plastic. And then you can use one of your scarves. Just wrap it around to hold it in place. And that's the purpose of this, to hold it in place. We're holding the water in with the plastic. So then you Now again, we want to cover the entire, we want to cover it all so that no part is left out. And so if I'm having a little difficulty here, as I am with this one, then I just poke it under, just like this. Just make sure that it all stays under. Okay, hold your finger right here on this, right there. That's good. And then we just put this around, like so, making sure that it's all under. Now, if a little bit of the plastic sticks out, it's not so critical. But if some of the cloth part sticks out, that's critical. And you're going to have not going to have a good heating compress. This part must be put on carefully so that you can get all the benefit from this very fine treatment that you can get. Now, this is a good bit too long more long than he needs it. But there's no harm in wrapping it several times. Then you take the pens, and two pens are good. And I like to have some safety pins in my tub of simple remedies. I like to have them there so that I don't have to go looking for a safety pin at that time. I know right where they are in my tub. But now let's say I need a pen sometime between putting on these wraps. Do I go to my bag? Nope, I don't go there. I go looking somewhere in a sewing box or in a drawer looking for safety pins rather than robbing my treatment bucket. Okay, now if we were to put a thermocouple under here, right next to his skin, and write a chymogram or any kind of electronic record, during the night we would find that we put this on cold. And some people even like to, once they've got it wet, they put it in the freezer and have it on hand frozen. Now, of course, it's a very thin piece, so you can open it out even with it being frozen. And they put it on ice cold. But for me, I find that I do just as well or maybe even better with it just cold. In fact, sometimes I put one on just dry, not even wet. And that is beneficial as well. Okay, so we put this on. We have the thermocouple under there. It would write a record that goes up and down. Temperature goes up and down all night long. And the effect of that is to pump blood out and then allow it to come in again. And that refreshes the tissues and makes it so that there is a constant refreshing of the blood to the throat, enabling the throat to heal. Okay, now, if we do this, if we have this, we must put it on cold in order to get this up and down. And when the blood comes in, it brings with it healing benefits such as antibodies, blood proteins that are healing, and enough blood sugar, if you have been handling your blood sugar in a proper way, enough blood sugar for the tissues to have good energy, but not so much that the germs, if there are germs that grow on sugars, not so much that the germs will have a heyday with what you have eaten. So your diet should be simple, non-sweet, and that includes the very sweet fruits like bananas during the time that you're having a cold and the sore throat. What about oranges? Are oranges good? Yes, they're good, but I don't give them during the time of a cold because a lot of people are sensitive to oranges or sensitive to citrus. I don't use the citrus fruits during a cold, even though they're high in vitamin C. Kiwi are too, and fewer people are sensitive to kiwi than are sensitive to citrus fruits. Okay, now he's gone all night, and he gets a little hot in this because it captures heat, and the fact that it's wet makes it even more so. So the next morning,
actually, really, I'm willing between hot and cold, really.
Oh, that's good. That was the kind of response we want.
Actually, whenever I'm hot, I always go through hot.
A washcloth.
It's just flashing on cold.
Okay. That confirms what I've always thought, that men have perpetual hot flashes. Women are. Now, in the morning, you take off this part, and of course, you'll need to dry it because it will probably be a little bit wet. Then you take off the plastic part, and you want to save that also if you need to. And then finally, the wet part, which by now is quite warm. And then you'll take a washcloth like this, and we'll squeeze that out of, guess what kind of water? It's going to be cold water and clean, and you squeeze that until it is cold but just moist. And then you take the washcloth and you friction the neck dry. Now when you come across here, if he's got a sore throat still, he will not be happy for you to do too much scrubbing back there. But back here, you can friction it so that it's nicely red. By the time you get through, you want the skin to be red. Now that is the purpose of a friction rub, such as this, such as a cold mitten friction. And this is essentially a cold mitten friction. That also is a treatment. And so we want the cold mitten friction treatment, and we want the heating compress treatment. Any questions about the heating compress? This one is to the throat, and it's probably the one that we use maybe the most frequently. But the next one is to the chest. We probably use that second most frequently. And it's for a cough. Now, I'm going to tell you that it is that a heating compress to the chest is excellent for a cough. But the next time you get a cough, I can almost guarantee that you will not believe me and you will not put one on. But if you put one on, you will find the benefits of it. So let's say this is a washcloth and this is full-size washcloth. And this is just sort of a pretend today. But you put the full-size, wet it in what kind of water? Cold water. And some people, Vilma Myers being one of those, she puts it actually in the freezer and lets it get really cold. Then you just put it here like this. Again, you must not have any part of it sticking out. So the wet part goes on first, then a plastic part goes on next. Now for a child this size or even for a grown man, I would probably choose a plastic garbage bag, a little plastic garbage bag, cut a little head hole and a little arm hole on both sides, slip that over, let him put his arms through it, and then tape it in place if you need to make sure that none of this wet part is going to wick to the outside. You can also take a t-shirt that you have cut to the proper size for your patient, if you don't mind doing that. If you have an old one that you don't mind cutting the neck off just a little bit perhaps and cutting the sleeves out so it comes over with just a part right across here and right across here and then down here and all over the back of the chest as well, and then put the plastic garbage bag over it and tape the garbage bag with masking tape or something of that nature. And masking tape is right here like this. Well, this is adhesive tape, but you just put the masking tape on to make it fit. So you just make pleats in the plastic and tape it down so that it fits. Then, yes, everything about the chest must be snug. And that's why I don't usually use this for a woman. It's a little harder to get it snug and so that it touches the skin everywhere on a woman. So I usually use the over-the-head one for men. Now, in the morning, after he slept in this all night, you can help him to have a really good treatment by the same way that we did the heating compress to the throat. Take it off layer by layer, and at the end, take a washcloth and wet it in what kind of water?
Cold
water. Squeeze it out really well this time. You want it just a little bit not so well squeezed out. And a good way to hold this so that you can scrub real well is across the fist like this. And just hold it in place. And then you do the same thing. And you remember yesterday how I told you that I got a mitten friction to my chest and it blistered me? Over ribs, you can do that with him too if you do it hard enough. So you don't need to do it that hard. All you need to do is to make it red. Because when the redness comes to the surface, then you're going to be having a good reaction. Okay, any questions about this? You can put a heating compress to the abdomen. It's good for constipation. It's good for the tummy ache. Good for children who have tummy aches. It's called a moist abdominal bandage when you put it on. It's exactly the same thing. Put the wet piece, plastic piece, and bandage to hold it in place. Very good. Thank you so much. You're a good patient. He had the cough, he had constipation, and he had a sore throat all in one afternoon. Question? Was there a question? Okay. Uh-huh. Right at the umbilicus.
And when I got there, he was bleeding, and he was crying out in pain, and he was bleeding. He was sick, 5 days. And I lived in his lips, and her house was dark, and I said, well, lips don't look like they have the color. And
yes.
As well as the lighting.
A 5-year-old with a tummy ache right at the umbilicus and was crying out in his sleep in pain.
And his lips looked blue.
Uh-huh. The lips looked blue.
When I went
still look that way out in the sun.
Well, the color, he thought it was dark.
Color.
Mm-hmm. So we put charcoal, I said, let's use charcoal quick, mm-hmm. and then we were heading to the ER.
Charcoal by mouth?
No.
Charcoal compress.
He had a little bitty compress on his belly, and I said, let's see, what do you have this big? And she got big coffee filters.
Uh-huh.
And so,
yeah, a good coffee filter is good for that.
We did thick layers, and then between the layers, we charcoal,
yes.
Threw it on there, and on the hour drive to the ER, he rested, fell asleep.
Uh-huh.
Got there, he woke up and he said, I'm hungry. And he was a happy little
boy. So I hope you didn't take him to the ER once he woke up and said he was hungry.
We did because my sister worked there, and she was just waiting for us, and I told her exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And then the doctor comes in, he said, well, he's so much, and they better be sick when they got to the ER.
Yes, well, that's the way. If your child gets well on the way to the hospital, don't take them in.
Well,
because now let me tell you why. There are several things. Just the exposure that a child gets when they're in the hospital, especially if they're under the age of 2. A child under the age of 2 who takes a visit to the hospital for almost any cause has a greater risk of getting asthma in the next 5 years. That's a statistic that we have no idea why. Okay, our next treatment, what is that coming up?
You're supposed to do the soft frames and things like that.
Oh, yes, okay. Can you do one while I'm getting my tape ready? Yes, question.
Chest compress, is that good only
when you're sleeping? You can do it anytime, during the day as well. Any other questions? Yes. Fire? Yes, you can use a washcloth also for a throat heating compress.
Go ahead.
Yes. Oh, okay. We'll keep that in mind.
I'm going
going to demonstrate the communication to the chest while you get ready. Okay, yesterday we demonstrated fomentation to the chest, and today we're going to do one as if you have pleurisy. And so David's going to be my volunteer, and what you do is a double pack. And yesterday I didn't show you in details what we would do, and first thing you need to do is, don't get on yet, is you get your fomentation. You always lay one at the bottom first on the table that he's going to be lying on. So we don't have enough towels. For that sake, I'm not going to put this in a towel, but this is usually wrapped in something also. You will lay this on the table first. And then you will get another towel or a towel and put three layers to it. And this is to keep the person from getting burned because those fomentations are very hot. So like this. And usually it covers the whole fomentation. Now we'll have him lay on there. And you always want to make sure it's above the right from here up, never below. Okay, then he lays down, and then we'll do the double pack. Like so. We'll wrap this in the wool wrap. Then, and before we put them on, again, we have to put towels on there to keep him from getting burned. And usually it's three layers are pretty good for doing this to keep him from getting burned. Some people who are sensitive, you have to maybe put four, and some people will tolerate just two layers. This is three layers right here. So you put it like so. Then you lay these on there. If at home, you can either heat them in a microwave for 5 minutes, always making sure that you have gloves on or tongs to get them out so that you don't get burnt. I would always put gloves on up to here because there's steam coming out of them. Another way is to get a can in a large pot with a lid, and you know those steamers, turn it upside down and just sit them on top of the steamers rolled up like we had those rolled up here and cover it up. And that would also make them hot. Then the pots, you don't need these fomentations. Yesterday I used towels and showed you how to do them. We just did this today so you could see. So then you would cover this back up like this, and then you would take a sheet and cover him up, and then a blanket and cover him up. And then you will change these every 5 minutes. For your question, how would you get those? What I would do is take a towel like this and just roll it up like this, and you have a fomentation. You don't need to buy something like that for home. Towels work just fine. That'll work too.
And they actually
work like very similar to the ones. Yes. Yes. Yes, that's very good. Now, like Dr. Agatha said, in between, I'll be changing this every 5 minutes. And the first thing that I do is I pray with the patient. Because we can do everything, but with our trusting in God, you know, God is really the great physician and he's the one that does the healing. And so I keep this on for 5 minutes, and maybe if he's really sick, I'll be doing a female. I'm sometimes massaging their feet at the same time or something to comfort them. And then now it's time to change this, so I'll take it off. And you can do it one or two ways. You can either put this in the cold water, squeeze it out, and just lay it on there, which is really shocking. Or the friction's not so bad because it's not all in one place at the same time. So you can just, you know, do the friction, and that helps. So you can change this. The one at the bottom never gets changed, only the one at the top. You will be offering this patient water to drink, lots of water, because they're sweating a lot. And then you're also wiping the head and the face. And if you need to, you could also put a cold rag on the head. And at the end of this treatment, you're going to be doing a cold friction on the back. I start with the legs, the arms, the back, and the stomach. And then give them warm socks, warm clothes, lay them down, and let them rest for 30 minutes to an hour, continuing to drink lots of water. Okay? Yes?
Is there ever a danger of raising your body temperature too high by doing that? Not really.
Not really. Most people get very frightened about the temperature going up, but you don't need to for the most part. if the body temperature does not go up above 107, you're usually fine, because brain damage doesn't occur, or irreversible protein damage does not occur until the temperature goes to about 112. And I've never seen a temperature higher than 108. And that was just once that I've seen that. And most of the time it'll be under 106. And so you don't really, with none of these treatments, do you really expect that that's going to happen. Okay, now I see that several of you have your hands up, and they've asked me to have you to write your questions or comments down so that when I call for those at the end, and I will give you time to do that, then you can make comments at that time. And as I told you yesterday, I know you're going to forget what your question is, so whatever your question is for Sister Vilma, write that down right now. When you have a question or a comment, that's what you need to do. Now, Jonathan has just had a very unfortunate accident. He stepped on a 2x4 as he was coming out of one of the buildings, and he stepped on it on the side, and it made his ankle go over this way. And so he got a bad sprained ankle. Which foot is it in? Let's see, we decided it was going to be in this foot right here. Okay, now I'm going to do a strapping. Now again, you may think, well, this is such a simple remedy, it's not going to be effective. Just like for the chest, for the cough, you're going to think, it's not going to be effective. I've got a really bad cough, and I cannot get enough benefit from those hot rags on my chest. No way that I could get a benefit from that, or to my throat. And you won't do this remedy either, but it's very simple to do, and it is very effective. Now, what you need to do, since a sprain is usually causing a problem with the plantar fascia. You've probably heard of plantar fasciitis. Well, the plantar fascia goes over the entire sole of the foot. And what we want to do is to remove the greater part of the pressure off the plantar fascia and get it to the skin, and then pull that up on top. So there are a couple of things that you need to do. And if I could sit down, I think I could hold this better. Here we go. This is good. And I think that I can make this so that you can see it pretty well. Can you all see this pretty well in the back? Now, I measured off, at least I call myself measuring off, how long I was going to need the first piece. And this is the anchor piece. And this one is critical. You do need to have this one on done accurately. And you use the, here is one point. You're going to put the tape from here, all around here, and you're going to end over here at this point, you see. So it's from here, around the heel, to this point right here. Okay, so here we go. Now I've measured this, so I'm hoping that it's going to be about right. And if you put, anytime you're doing something for the foot, if you put it on your knee, it helps a lot. So you anchor this one down just like this. And to get adhesive tape to stick, you need to have the foot dry. So it needs to be very dry. Put this around like so. And you need to have very sticky tape, and tape that is not flexible. And I think that this tape that I'm having is doesn't measure up to these too well. But usually a white adhesive tape will be just about what you need. So you end up right there. Now, firmly, snugly, yes, quite snugly. I wouldn't say that I actually put it on with a lot of traction. Now, what I'm doing now is rubbing it to make the adhesion stick. The more you rub it, the more firmly the adhesive will stick. Okay, then you have a second piece that's the same length, And you're going to put it on the same place, except about a third or half an inch up from the first one. And so it goes like this. Well, if I put him on the table, I won't have to have his foot on my knee.
If you guys want to come and see this, I'm recording this section. You can ask me later.
All right. Let me just show you again. You just take this second piece, and you put it on the first piece, overlapping by at least half. Just like that. You want to overlap it about half. Just like this. You can see that this is an easy treatment. You just have to pay attention to detail. And don't feel that you can just slap it on any old way and it will work. It's got to be done just right because we've got to have the fascia to and the rubbing that I'm doing with a sprained ankle is not going to, really sprained ankle, is not going to be all that pleasant. So you have to be judicious about the way that you do this part. Okay, do you see how I'm doing this? All right, the next part. Now, I have four other pieces, and I'm not sure how many I'm going to need. It depends on the size of Jonathan's foot. So, here we are with this piece, and what I'm going to do now is to put this around. He's a real patient. Okay, now what...
I've had my ankle sprained before, but I don't know how this would feel. So
okay,
I don't
this
know.
Is the new treatment for him, in other words. Okay, now this one, I want to put this right in the middle of my tape. I want that right at the base of the toes. So I'm going to be putting it right about here. And then I want to bring it around snugly. I'm not pulling it really tightly, but just very snugly. And then I put it across here like that, same way over here. And if he will bend his toes up just a little bit, that will help to do the job better. Okay, that one went that way. Now the next one is going to go the same way, except that I'm going to be progressing upward. So here I am, coming right along, and I pick about, a third there, and bring it around like so, and put that across the ankle like that, across the top of the foot in this way. There we go. And this one's a little shorter. I may have made it too short, but that goes also like this, right across there. And then this part, I did make it a little too short. And if he really had a sprained ankle, I would redo these. These are going to be too short. In fact, I think I'll just redo that. So if I decide where I want to end the tape right about here, then I can go ahead and anchor it down like this. And then place it just in the right place. Now, why do I not want to make them circular and make it go all around? Do you have an idea why I'm not? That's right. It'll cut off the circulation if I make it go all the way around. So you never want to do a part where tape is put all the way around a part, all the way around a finger, or all the way around the hand, unless it's done so loosely that any swelling that he will have can be taken up by the tape. Sorry? This cannot be paper tape. It cannot be, it should actually not be cloth tape too much, but should be something that is not flexible. Now this, I can pull it and stretch it just a little bit. The tape that you get from the pharmacy should not be something that's flexible. Okay, so the next one we do just like this. I put it where I want the tape to end, and then I bring it around like so and lap over the one that's before that. Okay? like that. And then, if I'm successful, I can tear that again. Okay. Now, next is the making sure that it's down flat. Now, what I'm having to happen here, where it rolls up a little bit when I rub across it, that makes you need to put a sock on the foot so that the tape won't roll and won't come off. Now, he can wear this for days. As long as he's getting comfort from it, he just keeps on wearing it. He can even bathe over it and pay no attention to the fact that it is there. Just keep it on until he doesn't need it anymore.
Can you go down so they can hear it?
Yes, if you would just walk down through the aisles there, that will do fine. Now, it'll get loose down there. It's all right. You can take it off as soon as you have shown it to everybody. Just walk down and let everybody take a look. The whole foot. You don't really need to wrap the whole foot. You just need to take the pressure off the plantar fascia and put it up on the skin of the top of the foot. Okay, it's a very nice remedy, and you can use this when you have a sprained ankle, and it will give you a lot of relief. Now, yes, go ahead. What do you do for a heel spur? That is a hot soak, 30 minutes every night before you go to bed. That's one thing. Second thing, if the person who has the heel spur is overweight, they need to lose weight because with every step, the heel spur is irritated. Now, when we think of spurs, we think of what cowboys wear, but a heel spur is not really that way. It's simply a little thickening of the connective tissue that fastens into a ridge on the calcaneous bone, which is this heel bone here, and it just thickens a little bit. You can actually see it on X-ray, but it's not really a bone growth that's, you know, sticking out like a sand spur. Sorry? It will go away. Now, can you operate on it? Yes, that will treat it also. But if you can treat it with a simple remedy like a hot foot bath every night before you go to bed for half an hour, then dry the foot and go to bed. You don't have to even put cold on it. Just hot water for half an hour. Go to bed and the next night do the same thing. Now, what about for plantar fasciitis? Do you know what the symptom is for plantar fasciitis? That's heel pain from here down. You got the pain from here down or here back? That's plantar fasciitis. And that is treated in a different way than a heel spur. Heel spur, you need to get some very good walking shoes, and that's a help. So, with the plantar fasciitis, you want to stretch the plantar fascia. So how do you do that? Very simple. Same treatment that you use for a backache, and it's simply done like this. You get to a wall, such as here, and a door is good because you can let your shoulder go past the door. But let's say you don't have a door handy. Get 2 feet from the wall, put your hands on the wall at about shoulder height, and let your hips sag into the wall, like this. Heels flat on the floor. My shoes are about to slip out from under me on this carpet. So you do it like this. Put your chest on the wall. Don't keep the hips out like that, or you won't get a good stretch. But if you put your heels flat on the floor and your hips to sag into the wall, that makes the best treatment for that. Do that every day, 5 times a day for 10 seconds each time. Okay. Yeah, you keep your heels constantly flat on the floor, and that will stretch the plantar fascia. Very good. Do it 3 times on a stretch. You go in, push out, go in, push out. Do it 3 times on a stretch, and then do that 5 times a day for 10 or 15 days. Now, if your plantar fasciitis is well, that's good. But if it isn't well, then make yourself a red pepper tincture. How do you do that? Teaspoonful of red pepper. Put it in a cup, cayenne. Cayenne, also called red pepper. You can buy it by several dames. And stir it in and take a Q-tip and paint the bottom of your foot where the pain is 6 times a day for 6 days. Now, this is for plantar fasciitis, which is pain from the heel out on the bottom of the foot. Sorry? Alcohol. Rubbing alcohol is good. A cup of that and a teaspoonful of a red pepper. Now, if it burns your skin, then it's too strong. So what do? Weaken it out just with some water or some more alcohol and put it in a bottle and label it poison, because you don't want somebody to smell of it and say, oh, this is pepper. It's supposed to be in the kitchen. And so they put it in the kitchen and it's poison. Still alcohol. It's still rubbing alcohol. Teaspoon of pepper and a cup of the alcohol. Now, if that's too strong, just weaken it out. All right, what's next up? Or did you want me to tell a little bit about pleurisy?
We could tell about pleurisy, but we do have dinner.
Oh, yes, okay. I need two sharp pointed scissors and the other thing. I wanted to tell you a little bit about pleurisy, and that's the thick pack that Vilma Myers showed you. People who are under the age of 50 who get pleurisy, it usually is due to either tuberculosis or to a fungus. But if they are over the age of 50, most of the time it's due to a malignancy. So pleurisy or pneumonia. And at any age, it can be due to pneumonia. But the older age groups, you expect them to get a pleurisy from a malignancy, some kind of malignancy. So the treatment is a long, slow pack. It's not the quick ones that we do for bronchitis. 3 minutes, 30 seconds. 3 minutes, hot. 30 seconds cold, 3 minutes, 30 seconds, 3 minutes, 30 seconds. Usually do it about 5 times. This time it's leisurely done. 10, 12, even 15 minutes. As long as the pack is hot, you can let it stay on for pleurisy. For pleurisy, you may or may not close off with cold. Most of the time we say for pleurisy, don't close it off with cold. Don't put cold on at all. It's just one hot pack after the other for pleurisy, without cold used in between. Now for pneumonia, it's cold in between each one, each pack. Any other questions about that? Sorry? Pleurisy? Pleurisy is pain on inspiration in the chest. So the person takes a, then they breathe out and they breathe in. And there it catches. Has anybody ever had that? You can also get pleurodynia, which will do the same thing, but it's not the same thing. It just, sorry? Tuberculosis, a fungus, pneumonia. After 50 can be pneumonia or a malignancy. That's the usual thing. Of course, at any age it can be pneumonia. All right. Sorry? Fungus, blastomycosis or histoplasmosis, some of these rare ones that you've probably never heard of. Okay, now the next thing I want to show you is how to get a splinter out from under the fingernail. And for this one, I wonder if I could get, do you mind being my guinea pig on this one? Come forth. And now we have in the tub of remedy materials, we have this little, what we call in surgery a mosquito. You're probably familiar with this. It's a very tiny hemostat, and you need one that's quite small. You can also use tweezers if they're sharp pointed. So let's say that we got here a splinter under the fingernail, and it is a really big one, big splinter. But it broke off so that you can't quite grasp it with anything. Now, what are you going to do? Are you going to take a needle and go digging it out? Well, you may do that, but if so, anesthetize the finger ahead of time with ice. Do we have any ice? Okay. Now, I want to tell you the rule. If you have 3 minutes of ice, 3 minutes of icing, you will get approximately 3 minutes of anesthesia. So that's something that you can expect. So if you're going to use something that's really painful, and all of this is painful, there's no way to get it out. It's not painful. So you start out by icing the finger, and you just keep the ice moving. That's all. Just keep it moving, and that will give you, for 3 minutes, if you keep icing it for 3 minutes, you'll get approximately 3 minutes of anesthesia. Now, if she's not anesthetic, put some more ice on. Now, I have sharp-pointed scissors here. Can you do this? Yes. Does it require a surgeon? Yes, and you become the surgeon right here. So, what you do is to stick this right in beside the splinter. Get the idea? So, stick this right in beside the splinter. Stick it down, and there's no question about it. This is an assault on the patient. You will feel that also, that you're assaulting the patient. But don't let that make you move slowly. You've got to move fast on this. But every movement that you make has to be deftly done, because you don't want a clumsiness here. So you stick this sharp-pointed scissors right down beside the splinter and cut the fingernail. Quickly, on the other side, you've only got 3 minutes to work. Do the same thing and clip the fingernail. Then take the sharp-pointed tweezers or this little mosquito, and now the fingernail is out of the way, and you simply grasp the edge of the end of the splinter and pull it out. Now, you want to pull it out in such a way, and I sort of jerked her there, and that was wrong. It needs to be a controlled pull out, because you don't want parts of it left in. But let's say parts of it are left in. Go after them, because it's not going to heal, not going to feel good until you've got all of the splinter out. The thing that's that you fear the most is a glass splinter. That's hard to deal with. Then you're going to have to cut all the nail off of it, which means icing it, icing it enough length of time to make it so that she can tolerate what you're going to do. Any questions about that? Question?
Thank you. If you have a splinter anywhere and it breaks off and it's injected, if you use hot and cold soaks, won't that draw it out?
Not really, because hot and cold soaks may actually make the tissue swell a little bit around it. That's more likely to swell around it.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. And I need to find out what's next up on the treatment list. And I'll answer this question. Who had a question?
To continue, how do you get it out if you've got a splinter you can't see?
Okay. If you've got a splinter and you can't see it, ice it, go digging for it with a needle. You've got no option. What other option do you have? You know, if you're a surgeon, you will probably slit it open and deaden it with some kind of one of the canes, like xylocaine, and then go after it. And I've done that too. You just rub the scalpel across the tissue until you feel the rasp of the glass. I had a man one time who fell on a glass bottle and got many slivers in. He was a big macho man, and he decided, I'm not going to the doctor. So he let it heal over it. And so he had all these glass pieces in there. And so about 2 years later, he came to me to get those glass pieces out. That was a chore. I worked on it for 2 hours. Never did get all of them out. The last little scrape I did, I felt another one, but I didn't want to work on him anymore. I was afraid I might devitalize the tissue. So I sewed him up, and I said, if you still have some, come back later. Now, that was about 15 or 18 years ago. I've seen him many times since, but he's never asked me to take any more splinters out. Yes.
Can you use ice on any area or mostly just
the area? Any area. It works. We have removed moles with ice anesthesia. We've sewed up lacerations with ice anesthesia. And I believe that if every anesthesiologist who had ever graduated from Loma Linda had devoted themselves to natural means of getting anesthesia, they would have a lot of methods of doing anesthesia, even general anesthesia, that we do not now have. We just depend on drugs. But you can do a lot of things with ice anesthesia. You can also, for your information, if you are bold enough, you can inject some saline for injection around what it is you're going to work on, and that will give you perfect anesthesia. If you inject enough saline, just plain saline, use a 27 gauge needle. The idea is that it separates the nerve endings far enough by the presence of the saline in the tissue that it makes it so that the brain doesn't quite get the signals just right. And it's totally anesthetic. Okay. Let's not do that today.
We have somebody who has a papilloma.
Papilloma. Okay.
I don't have a tweezer, so we're trying to get a tweezer.
That's okay. We can use this. All right. We have a patient. We have a patient with a papilloma. Now, these little papillomas that occur on people, you can take these off. You can do this. How many people have papillomas, either on their neck? You'll see these little papillomas on the eyelashes, right? They're little skin tags that are little finger-like skin tags. And they're very easy to treat. You need some wax dental floss. You need some scissors. That's for the wax dental floss, not for the papilloma. You're going to let it fall off. Sorry? With these scissors? Yes, this is what I'm going to use. And this little hemostat, but you won't usually have hemostats around the house, but you do have tweezers. So what we need is, for the papilloma, we need to stabilize it with something, tweezers or something. Where is yours located? Oh, okay. Now that has got to have a thin base. Now this needs to be burned or cut. It has too broad a base for us to use this simple method. If you've got one, come and let me see it, and I will see. Sorry, we'll be happy to use another method, but this one won't work on that. Let's see. Turn it loose. This is the kind. This is the kind right here. Now, if you'll turn around, I'll show it to everybody. See, it's this. Now, I can catch hold of it, and I can pull it out. Like this. See how I can pull it out?
Yeah.
And it's not painful. If you'll have a seat in our chair.
Can you chop it off?
No. We're not going to cut the papilloma. We're going to cut the wax dental floss with it once we get that going. Now, you need an assistant, and so Sister Vilma Myers is going to be my assistant.
Why does it grow back?
It won't grow back. This one won't grow back, but... Same one?
I don't know.
If you will do what we tell you to, it won't grow. If you do it like we say, it won't grow. That one won't grow back. But now people do tend to get them, and the way that they begin is that a little keratosis does not slough off. A little flaking of the skin does not slough off. As skin is supposed to flake, and if it doesn't flake in one little spot, then it will start pulling the dermal tissues forward. And then pretty soon, after months or years, it will have induced blood supply and connective tissue and all of that. And so now what we're going to do is to we're going to strangulate the blood supply, and that's going to make it do fine. Okay. Now you need wax dental floss with this because you do not want to have it slip. When you make the tie, you want that the dental floss to stay there, right where you put it. So make a little loop in the dental floss ahead of time and pull it down a little bit. Then put this over the papilloma, and then your assistant braces herself on the person's body somewhere so that she can hold it steady. Now she pulls it out a little bit, but I must put the thread right on the junction between okay. Now her reaction lets me know that I got a little skin in that too. Because if I'd only gotten the papilloma and strangled that, it wouldn't have been a problem. But now I don't want that to slip, so I pulled it tight. I'm going to make sure that it's tight. Then I'm going to put a square knot in it so that it further prevents it from slipping. Now, if you put this on too many times, if you tie too many knots in it, it will start pulling up more and more of her skin in it. No problem with that. It's just that it hurts. Now, you saw how tightly I did that. Now, the next thing that we do is the scissors. Cut that off for us there. No, cut it a little shorter. Yeah, right about there. You want it to be long enough so that you can see it, but not so long that it calls attention to itself. Now, in 4 or 5 days, this will dry up, and she can cut it off, or it'll just fall off eventually. Yeah. Thank you so much. Now, people get these in the armpits. They get them on the neck. They get them on the eyebrows. They get them in the eyelashes. And so you can get these most anywhere. Now you know the treatment. It just takes a little patience and a little steadiness of the hand. Sorry? It won't be too long to tie if it's got a thin foot on it. The thing that made it so that we could not do this one on the face is that the base of it is too broad. It has to be very thin so that you can tie it and strangulate it. And you want to get just between the pigmented part and the normal skin. And she shouldn't have any special pain with it. If she does, what would you tell her to do? She got pain. Ice on it. Put ice on it. Yes, how you can keep it from happening again. Do you know these rough washcloths that people can sort of scrub the skin with? If you, the places where you get them, and people who get them usually have them coming up in the same place, you just keep that scrubbed about once a week. You just scrub it with something rough and with something rough, because you want to rub off that little bit of flakiness that is not normally flaking off in that little spot. It's while you're taking a bath. Just taking a shower and do that. Okay. All right.
A guy told me that the stuff you put on your toes, the corn.
Yes.
So I can put that on there. Is that right?
He is correct on that. You can do that, but be very careful that you don't get it on the normal surrounding skin. Same stuff that you use for corns. You can use that. It's a strong solution of salicylic acid. And you can put garlic on it. You can also put a banana peel, the white part of a banana peel, tape that on, and that may be effective also. Until it comes off. Yeah. No, you keep changing it, and you can change it several times a day. Any wart. Now, this is a little warty one there, so I think it's probably due to a virus. I didn't actually examine it very closely, but it looks like a little wart. And any wart, warts on the hands or feet or wherever a wart may come, you can use a little piece of garlic put there or the corn medicine that you can buy from a pharmacy. Strong salicylic acid. Coins on the toes? Yes. Just take an emery board, same thing you file your fingernails with, and file it off. Or you can take a Dremel. You know what a Dremel is? It's one of these little tools that cabinet makers use to put little designs on their cabinets. Has a little bit that you can file it off with. Or you can go to a podiatrist, pay him $120, and he will file it off for you using a Dremel. And so you might as well do it yourself. You can afford to buy the Dremel. And sorry? Yes. Very good. That's exactly what you need. Now, my objective has been to help you to take more responsibility for your own health. I hope you see that. Now, it is true that I'm licensed to practice medicine in the states of Alabama and Georgia. Medicine and surgery. So I'm licensed to do that. You're not, most likely. Does that mean you can't do it on yourself and on your family? No. You can do it. So, know that this... And now, I did go through the school. I went through the internship and through a long residency. And I'm no better equipped than you are to do any of these things. You can do it too. You do not have to be anointed with any kind of holy water in order to do this kind of work. It's just common sense. Question here and question here.
At first, my kids didn't trust me.
Yes.
RN,
yes. Yes. Yes.
And then my little boy, Lucifer, came on ProGuard. He literally did. But, and my older son saw that. But through the years, the last thing my older son said, he said, this beast going to the doctor any day.
And I should say. Yes.
He loved it.
Absolutely. Yes. My children would do it for themselves. I'd hear the water running back there in the back and go right there. What's up? And they say, well, I'm sick and I'm doing myself a treat. You had a question.
Is there anything that you could tell us, like, for
side effects?
Soggy fat.
Soggy fat?
Yes.
Do you mean that?
Oh.
Yes. The perfect remedy for that. The Lord is coming soon, and He's going to get rid of all this stuff. That's the only thing. Yes. Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah, take fingernail clippers and clip them off. When they first come. Mm-hmm. You do it with your fingernail. You can also do a wart that comes up. Just put the just position the fingernail clippers just in the right way. Be sure they're sharp. And do it like that. One work ought to be it. Now, you'll have a little defect there, but that's all right. Now, what do you do with the lacerations? And I wanted to show you about lacerations. I'll do that tomorrow. But what do you do if you've got... you do that with your fingernail clippers and you've got a little gap that the skin is not together. All right, just put this down like that. Pull the skin, pull it together, and pull it down like that. Now, let's say your child stepped on a piece of glass and they've got a laceration. Be sure there's nothing, no foreign body in it of any kind. It will not heal. There's dirt or dust or anything like that. It won't heal. So, get your piece of tape, work the edges together so that they are perfect fit. They're just back exactly like they were. And even if you need to put a little piece of tape, get your scissors, cut a little piece of tiny little strip of tape, and take this part and work it and pull it this way and that way until you get it so that it's exactly, that's all the surgeon does. Then he sews it in place. So you do it like that by teasing it into place, and then you put the tape down and stabilize it so that it cannot move. And you put a bandage over it, and you've got and let it stay until you're sure that it has healed. On the palms, on the hands, over the elbows, over the knees, feet, takes a much longer time for it to heal than it does to be stuck, than it does on some other place. And I am so sorry that I have to say so. As you can see, I love to talk about this. But I want you to learn to take more responsibility for your own health. And I'm going to pray for you right now that the Lord will give you that sense of power over these little things. And then just use your common sense about how to deal with these things. Let's stand together and pray. Our gracious Father, thank you so much that you have given us healing. We know that we are not deserving of healing, but that every cut, every splinter, every bleeding spot, every illness that we have, we are the only thing we are worthy of is that we should be sick forever with it. So we know that it has cost you your life's blood to give us these healing properties. And so help us to learn that we can depend on Thee and on the healing that You have given us to bring about a good effect. And these simple remedies can help us to be willing to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.